There's a man who's seen it all, a true hero standing tall with a badge and a pen. He takes a stage, John Moore, the freedom sage. From the Green Berets he served his land, a detective with a steady hand. Intelligence analyst, he knows the score. John Moore, he's seen it all before. Wake up with the Liberty Man, with coffee cup in hand. With his charm and his wit, he's got it all. John Moore, voice that'll never fall. Intelligence analyst, he knows the score. John Moore, he's seen it all before. Wake up with the Liberty Man, with coffee cup in hand. With his charm and his wit, he's got it all. John Moore, voice that'll never fall.
All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, live, coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozark. On Monday, it is Monday, the 29th day of April, year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the John Moore Show. We do begin live broadcasting right now at Republic Broadcasting with my show, the John Moore Show. And I'm proud to say we do something that should be done in every public and private school every day of the week. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day is to get your EMP shield now while you can. Seriously, get your EMP shield now while you can. We have patient Wayne Negrino, my friend Stephen Starr. Stephen Starr is a professor at the University of Missouri at Columbia, and he is the author of the following book, listen carefully, it's available at Amazon, The Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. The subtitle is A Mortal Threat to the U.S. Power Grid and U.S. Nuclear power plants. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, John.
Well, sir, there was some interesting dialogue between you and Andrew regarding EMP and related topics, and I think it was resolved to your satisfaction, wasn't it, sir?
It was. Actually, it was a pleasant surprise. I mean, there's a lot to learn about this, but you know what? The reason I contacted Andrew in the first place is because I'm always going over this information, and my point of concern was that when you're in an area that's kind of directly beneath where the nuclear detonation occurs, which would, since it occurs, you know, 60 to maybe a couple hundred miles up, that'd be an area about the size of somewhere between the state of Missouri and the state of Texas, which is a large area. The E1 will induce really high voltages and currents into even wires and plugs and cords and cables inside your house. For example, an unshielded AC power cord at the wall plug can get 50,000 volts and 100 amps of current induced into it. And my understanding with the EMP shield was that it was, you know, you install it at the circuit box in your home. And so I thought, well, that's blocking all the current that's, you know, coming in through the grid. But I was worried that it wouldn't block the voltages and current that's going to be induced into the cables and wires inside your house. Andrew gave me the information that it actually works as almost like a sponge at really high voltages, and it absorbs the current inside the house as well as outside. So, you know, because I was getting ready to wrap the the power cords on my refrigerator and my freezer and all that with Faraday tape that is a military grade you can wrap on. But I thought, well, okay, maybe I don't need to do that now.
All right. Well, that was good information, and it was an interesting dialogue between the two of you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're paying attention to the news, most of my listeners do pay attention to the news. A lot of my listeners are news junkies. And the threat of World War III has not gone away. I just read this morning where the latest and greatest U.S. Tank, the M1 Abrams tank, has been taken off the front lines of Ukraine because the Russians have figured a way to blow them to smithereens. I saw the photograph of this captured American tank that the Russians dragged back to their safe area. And it wasn't much left of it. It was just a hulk of burned up metal. Point being, what we're seeing in Europe could easily spin out of control. We're at the precipice of World War III right now, aren't we, Stephen?
Well, I agree. Initially, a couple of weeks ago, France's president, Macron, announced that France would be, considering putting troops, officially, large numbers of troops under the French flag into Ukraine, which would, and the Russians have been very explicit that if that happens, they will target and destroy them. And so when you have a NATO member state that's, in direct military conflict with Russia, that's a red line that everybody has avoided crossing an entire Cold War, that talk, I thought, died out, but it hasn't. It's been seconded by, like the Polish president, for example, and the Baltic states. And they seem to be moving in that direction. It's amazing to me. It makes no sense if you look at their military capabilities of the French army. One of their generals said they have enough ammunition to go on a safari in Africa.
Right.
But
right.
I think the goal is to drag the United States into the war. That's what we really
seems to be the case. Absolutely, yeah. It does seem to be the case. You got a question or comment? This is a live call-in show. Just give us a call at 512-248-8252. And I want to take this opportunity to welcome back all my YouTube listeners. I was off YouTube for about a year, making changes that hopefully will keep me from being kicked off again, censored. We have 20,000 YouTube listeners, and we're picking them back up, Stephen. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, that is good. The tendency still seems to be towards censorship. They've passed that bill that allows the president to ban any website that he considers to be a security threat. So hopefully that won't include anything that you're doing, but, who knows?
Right. Well, hopefully. We'll see. We got a caller on hold here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John. Oh, we lost John. Okay, never mind. And the call number is 512-248-8252. You first got the idea to write this book several years ago, and writing the book actually took from beginning to end when it was published. About how long, Stephen?
It really took a little bit longer than 3 years. I thought I was ready to write it about 3 years ago. I was asked to give a talk at a side panel at the United Nations. And I was going to be joined by an Air Force major and also a lieutenant general, because they had been working to publicize the danger of EMP under President Trump. Had authorized them to do that. But, Trump had left office, and they were ordered not to testify. And so that kind of, I thought, man, that's a bad sign. But really what got me into it was I wanted to make sure that I wrote a book that was accurate. And it's a complex phenomena, EMP, and I was writing about the danger to nuclear power plants because the Nuclear Regulatory Commission doesn't recognize that EMP threatens them. And I couldn't get any help from nuclear engineers because they haven't been trained in this, and it's not politically correct. So I spent a couple of years just studying technical manuals to make sure I knew exactly what I was talking about.
Right,
so that's
right.
What took so long.
Well, a friend of mine, Steve O'Neill, he was on the Tuesday morning round table for quite a while. He is a nuclear scientist, nuclear engineer, and he's very, very aware of the effects of EMP. Unfortunately, he didn't know about Steve O'Neill at the time. But that's unfortunate. But you got the job done anyway, didn't you, sir?
Well, I believe I did. When you look back, I can always think, well, I could have said this and that. It's because I tend to be a perfectionist. But I think the book is very solid. I haven't found any mistakes I made in terms of information being accurate. And there's 160 references and 360 footnotes, and it's all from solid sources. It includes, the beginning of each section, there's includes a summary. There's a non-technical summary for people that are not, scientists. It's just so ordinary people can understand this threat, and then I go into detail after that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, these threats are real. They're a clear and present danger to the United States. And When we first started hearing these discussions, people were talking about how our enemies, if they did have a missile, that we would be able to intercept it. But more recently, people have come to understand you don't need missiles, high-tech, to deliver an EMP device. All you need is a weather balloon, correct?
Yes, that's right. It's not like you're trying to hit a target like a missile silo or something that requires high accuracy. Basically, if you detonate a nuclear weapon about 100 miles up over the eastern half of the United States, you will take out the grid in about the eastern half of the United States. And it can be over Ohio or Alabama. If you went off over Nevada or L.A. or Washington state, it'll take out the western half of the U.S. You shoot one off over the Yucatan Peninsula, it'll destroy the electric grid in the entire U.S. It'll destroy the large power transformers. They're required for the transmission of about 90% of the electricity that we use in the U.S., and it takes, you know, at least a year to 2 years to replace those under normal circumstances, and it wouldn't be normal. So, you know, imagine being without electric power for a couple of years.
It's hard to imagine it for just a week or two, let alone a year. I got a note here that we don't have any live streams coming out of RBN right now, so maybe my engineer can check on that and figure out what's going on. But of course there'll be archives and people can listen on the archives as well, as even if we don't have the live stream right now. Okay, Stephen. One of your goals was to distribute these books to positions, people in position of power, that they could do something about it. You've had some minimal success in that regard, haven't you?
Well, I have managed to distribute some of the books in Missouri to a senator, and I don't know if he got it, but the Stop AIDS did, and I have conversed with one of them a couple of times. But, you know, I think politicians are basically surrounded by lobbyists every day, you know, who are well-funded and have an agenda. And I have an agenda, but I'm not well-funded, and I'm not, you know, I can't be in their office. So I'm not sure how much, I was hoping that just the importance of the information would trigger some action, but I'm not sure if it has.
Right, right. Well, okay. I'm just checking here on the live stream. Looks like we got one down and two going. So that's a pretty good deal. If you're listening to us, just give us a call that you can hear what we're talking about here this morning at 512-248-8252. And one of the things we've been encouraging people for about a month or so is all you folks in Texas, of course, Republic Broadcasting's headquarters is in Round Rock, Texas, to meet with your state rep, your state senator, bring a copy of Stephen's book with you, have about a 15-20 minute conversation with that state rep or state senator, leave the book with that person. Hopefully they will actually read it. It's not a long read, less than 200 pages. And we can get something done at the state level. Texas is a particular interesting place because just like Alaska and Hawaii, it has a standalone power grid, doesn't it?
That's right, John. You know, you were probably better informed about Texas than I was when I got started on this, so. But yeah, I think EMP Shield, which is let me put it this way. If you can start off at the state and national level for your lobbying, try to protect the grid and the power that you get from your utilities, that's a good place to start. But even if that is protected, you need to protect your own home, because EMP will destroy all the electronics in your house, even if the grid finally gets protected. So well, that's the second thing you can do, and we can explain more about how that works later on if you like.
Well, absolutely. Well, let's do a summary of what EMP is, how it affects things after the first break, which will be in about 4 or 5 minutes here.
Okay.
In your quest to understand, comprehend, and write this book, you found out about EMP Shield along the way, didn't you, sir?
Yeah, I did. You know, I've written about nuclear war and nuclear weapons for, you know, 20 years probably. I teach a class on nuclear weapons at the University of Missouri. You know, when you start having hundreds or thousands of nuclear detonations, then, you know, we're all pretty much in trouble at that point. But the idea that you could detonate one nuclear weapon and take out the entire grid in the United States and leave, you know, congressional reports have indicated that up to 90% of the people would die after a year without electricity in this country. That shocked me. But it also shocked me that there are technical solutions for this that just haven't been implemented. The military has protected itself from EMP for its communications and weapon systems, but the civilian infrastructure hasn't. And the E1 component, the initial component of EMP, occurs at the speed of light, and it will not only fry a lot of what it will do is it'll destroy the solid-state electronics that are required to run a critical national infrastructure. And it does that so fast, you know, that ordinary protection won't work. So that means you can't pump fuel out of the ground. You can't have your refrigerator working. You can't have running water. Your toilets are going to quit working. You won't be able to, the food distribution will end, all the types of transportation systems will be knocked out, ground, sea, and air. So when I learned about that, I thought, well, this is something I can do. I can take some action on that might have a positive effect. And, you know, EMP has been kind of denigrated, the idea of it. It's like, oh, that's not really a realistic theory, because if one nuclear bomb goes off, there'll be a nuclear war. Well, that's not, you know, there's an asymmetric response, and even a country like North Korea could detonate a nuclear weapon over the United States, for example, in the form that they have satellites that orbit over the United States every day, or every couple of days at least, and one of those would do it. And so that motivated me to get started on this and write about it. It just took a while to figure out all the details.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about what goes on with the military. Yeah. First of all, your statement about the military protecting critical communications is absolutely accurate. And here's the rest of the story. The rest of the story is the rest of the base, let's take Fort Bragg, now improperly called Fort Liberty. There's over 50,000 men and women there. So they protect their critical infrastructure for communications. What they don't protect is the rest of the base. And what they don't protect is the civilian area outside the base, which is where the men and women who work there live. So while they may have a functional communication system, the rest of the base is in complete disarray due to EMP. And where the civilians live that work on the base and run this equipment, they're without power also. So it's kind of a mistake, I believe, to believe that the U.S. military has protected what they need to protect because of all these other things. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't. It's kind of like getting new tires for your car, but you don't have any gas and the motors are wrecked.
Roger that. It's it's short-sighted. It's not complete. What the military has done is not complete. So, unfortunately, that's the way it is. And talking about 9 out of 10 Americans being dead in a year, well, here's why they're going to be dead. The first drink you take of bad water is one-way ticket to diarrhea, dehydration, and death. General Wainwright wrote a book about what happened when he surrendered to the Japanese in 1942. And he mentioned that American prisoners being marched on the Bataan, what's called the Bataan Death March, they were so thirsty that they would fall to their knees to get a drink out of a muddy puddle upon threat of getting a bayonet in the back. Thirst will do things that are pretty desperate, won't it, Stephen?
That's right. Same thing happens when you're out at sea and you start drinking salt water because you're so thirsty. That'll kill you too.
Actually, there's more. I don't want to get into that now, but I've learned more about that since that that's not quite accurate. But
Sorry.
it's okay. It's what I believed also until about a year or two ago. Yes. So bad water will kill you, make you sick, and that's simply the way it is. So we need to be aware of this. We need to go to my website, thelibertyman.com, go to the EMP panel, educate yourself about what's available, what you can protect. You can protect your car, the car that youngster off to college, you can protect your home, and protect your generator. You need you got a home and a generator, you need to protect both, because the home device won't protect the generator unless it's a rope pull instead of a battery start. The rope pull generators are so simplistic that EMP won't affect them. But if it's a battery start generator, you need to protect it separately. And the devices are available right now. We're running a short backlog, about 2 to 3 weeks backlog, not too bad. And get your order in, get them delivered, get them installed. I installed probably 8 or 10 motor vehicle AMP devices myself, not a big deal. You know, I had an electrician install the ones on my circuit breaker box. That was beyond my expertise. And I also had an electrician install the one for my generator. So these are simple devices, not terribly expensive, simple to install. The electronics are very sophisticated inside there, aren't they?
That's right. And I'm not an electrician or electrical engineer, but I'm very impressed by the way they work.
Well, it's technology that I, quite frankly, I was hoping would come into existence. It finally did. In about 1990 or so, 92, along in there, I had a Dodge Specialist reconfigure my 1988 Dodge 3/4-ton van to be EMP-proof, and he did. He eliminated, bypassed, got rid of everything that had a transistor, resistor, or diode on it, and made it into basically a 1968 Dodge, which I still have, by the way, and it would still run if I put some fresh gas in it. But it's an expensive thing to do. I'm not sure a modern vehicle could even be done, because they have a lot more electronics. These modern vehicles are just filled up with small computers and electronics, aren't they, Stephen?
Yes, I mean, every electrical device we have now has got, you know, the transistors, the micro circuits, all the solid-state electronics that operate at very low voltages. You know, even static electricity can mess it up. You know, the EMP will generate thousands and tens of thousands, millions of volts in power distribution lines. And, you know, so if they get hit, if they're not shielded from that and get hit with it, they just are disabled and destroyed. And so it would be like suddenly turning off every electric device that we have and not being able to turn it back on until it was repaired.
Yes, yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do your homework. Make your decision. It's certainly up to you whether you do or do not get the EMP shield device. And quite frankly, once I had that first one installed on my vehicle, I thought, boy, this is great. I no longer have to rely on that worn-out old Dodge van. Once the MP shield was on my circuit breaker box, just like last night, when a thunderstorm came through, we had a very violent, heavy-duty thunderstorm last night, I just roll over and go back to sleep knowing that everything's protected. And lightning protection from EMP shield is backed by a $25,000 warranty insurance policy, isn't it, Stephen?
Yes, it is. I mean, that was one of the reasons I decided to get it, too, because I had moved into a small house way out in the country, and I just assumed there was some kind of lightning protection besides the ground, and there wasn't. And you know, I looked at the cost, and it was slightly more expensive than whatever the surge protectors were recommended to me. But the fact that it would do, you know, when you're writing a book on EMP, it's worth the extra expense to get the shielding from that. So I got them. I got it for my solar system too as well, and you know, so now my backup power is protected as well as all the electronics in my house.
Peace of mind, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, you know, that's one of the things you need to do. You need to be able to be self-sufficient enough to have some kind of source of fresh water and probably be able to raise some of your own food and work with your neighbors and have, you know, if things really break down, we're going to have all kinds of chaos in our society. But, you know, I like just being self-sufficient in the first place. So I enjoyed, you know, all those things.
Absolutely. Well, we talk about this every Monday. We have new listeners every Monday. That's the nature of talk radio. We inform, we educate, we encourage. But it's always up to the individual to make that move, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I encourage people to get my book on Amazon. My name's Stephen Starr. It's Stephen with a V and Starr with two R's. You type that in Amazon, you'll find my nuclear high altitude electromagnetic pulse book comes up. And there's a a Kindle, an ebook version that's $8.99. That if you don't want to buy the paperback, you can give it as a gift too. So, but I, there's a lot of actually bad information on the net about EMP, and I had to sort through all of it. So I used the very best references from the Meditech Corporation out there. They, the guy that runs that, has written the guidelines for the Department of Defense on EMP. So I figured that was a pretty good source. And I think I've done my best to make sure it was accurate information. And it's not that hard to understand, though. I don't have a lot of, scientific language that you have to have training to understand.
Absolutely. Well, the book is available at Amazon. I would encourage people to get it. Even if you don't live in Texas, get it anyway. And no matter which of the other 49 states you live in, it wouldn't hurt at all to make appointments with your state rep, your state senator, get something done at the state level. The politics at the federal level are just absolutely crazy, aren't they?
Well, they are. I mean, one of the comments I make is that something like 3-4% of the defense budget would be enough to protect the grid and all the critical national infrastructure in the United States. I mean, the money that we've sent to Ukraine would do it several times over. But we just, our priorities are screwed up. You don't have anybody really lobbying for this. It's got, power and influence. So it's a hard road to hoe.
Do we have any rough dollar amounts or what it would cost to protect the national power grid?
The grid itself is actually probably not, I mean, in the scheme of things, I think like $10 billion. And to do the whole critical national infrastructure, it might be $30 billion or so. I think those figures were done several years ago. So the way inflation is, it might be a bit higher. But, I used to say a million here, a million there, and you have serious money. Now it's a billion here and a billion there. So and most of the money that we have that's coming out of the government is being borrowed anyway. So I think if you're going to borrow for something, do it to protect the United States.
Well, the estimated cost for the most expensive jet fighter ever built, the lifetime cost for this thing being in service, is $1.7 trillion. and listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The most expensive jet fighter ever built, the F-35, can't be flown in a lightning storm. So we're spending all these dollars on something that, quite frankly, you can't fly it in a thunderstorm. Why even have it? As opposed to protect the national power grid for a fraction, an absolute fraction of $1.7 trillion. Correct, Stephen?
That's right. I guess EMP shield wouldn't even help the F-35, would it?
Well, it's a different story.
I know.
But it looks like we missed the first break here, but that's just simply the way it is. So why don't we go ahead and do our summary of what EMP is right now, sir.
Okay. Well, when you think about a nuclear detonation, you think about blasts and fire, and that's what happens if it's detonated close to the surface of the Earth. But if you detonate a nuclear weapon, say, 100 miles up, you're not going to have any of those blasts and fire effects, but there will be a giant flash of light. But what happens is in about a billionth of a second, the nuclear detonation will create an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, that comes down at the speed of light. There's actually three parts of it, E1, E2, and E3, but the E1 initially comes down, and it will induce extremely massive voltages and currents into any electrically conductive material. And particularly at risk are power lines and telecommunication lines. For example, a medium distribution power line will have 2 million volts and 5 to 10,000 amps that will be, and that, those lines aren't designed to handle that kind of current. It'll screw up the lines, but anything that's plugged into the grid that's not shielded at that point will get fried.
We'll continue this discourse after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool. Time there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early.
Gentlemen, have the best sale ever on the Liberator rocket heaters going on right now, beginning today. $300 off the Liberator rocket heater. Listen carefully. In addition, if you want an additional 1% off, use PayPal. So, beginning today, we have Liberator rocket heaters, $300 off sale. Yeah, go ahead and place your order. When you place your order, you pay the full price because I'm not going to change my whole website for a sale. But you make your purchase. I do the sale price refund. If you want an additional 1% off, use PayPal and you get an additional 1% off. That begins today, Monday, April the 29th. We have with us Stephen Starr, the author of the following book, Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. Subtitle is A Mortal Threat to the U.S. Power Grid and U.S. Nuclear Power Plants, available at Amazon.com. Just put Stephen with a V, Starr, S-T-A-R-R, in the Amazon search box. You'll come up immediately. Stephen, you were interrupted by the break explaining what EMP is. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, I had mentioned that in 1 or 2 billionths of a second, the E1 EMP wave, it'll induce 2 million volts in a current of 5 to 10,000 amps in a medium distribution power line. And any unshielded modern electronic device that contains solid-state circuitry that's plugged into the grid is going to be disabled, damaged, or destroyed. And this includes the electronic devices that are required to operate all our critical national infrastructure. And that means ground, air, sea transportation systems, water and sanitation systems, fuel and food distribution systems, telecommunication systems, banking systems. They'd all be simultaneously knocked out of service. And they wouldn't be able to be back up in service until all the solid-state electronics that required to run them would be replaced. But it would be hard to do that because a few seconds later, the E3 wave will come down and it will destroy or damage all the large power transformers. So for example, if one bomb is detonated over the eastern half of the U.S., all the large power transformers would be knocked out. And those weigh between 200 and 400 tons each. They currently, in normal circumstances, they require 18 to 24 months to be manufactured and installed. And they're 80-some percent are made overseas. You can't airdrop them in because, if something weighs 800,000 pounds, you can't even put it on a train. It has to be carried by ship across the sea and then slowly moved across the land to be installed. And what this means is that the electric grid would be down for over a year. Who knows? Anything that you use that requires electricity wouldn't work anymore.
Well, the shorthand version of what you just said, which is, of course, accurate, is the following. Everything you need to fix what's broken is also broken.
Right. That's right. And I don't know. It's such a nightmare scenario. It's really hard for people to get a handle on it. But if people they've known that this would happen for decades, and the military's, as we discussed earlier, is work to protect at least its weapons and communication systems, but it hasn't protected its civilians who live outside a base, for example. But the civilian infrastructure is still very vulnerable, and I think that this is true in a lot of the Western countries. I know they have done some work in Switzerland and Sweden to protect their grids. I suspect they've done a lot more in Russia, but there's 12,000 nuclear weapons in the world. And if all it takes is one or two to knock out our entire grid for a year because we've been too negligent to install it, because you can protect the grid. It takes maybe $10 billion to do that. And, throw in another $20 or $30 billion and you can protect all the...
Relatively inexpensive compared to the risk that we're saving ourselves from.
Right. That's right.
Go ahead.
It's hard. There's no logical reason for this except corruption.
Let's go back to, you were prepared to do a presentation at the United Nations and it got shut down. Give us more details about that, if you could, please.
Well, I was able to give my talk, but the other speakers were included a major and a lieutenant general in the Air Force. They were part of an electromagnetic defense task force that had been set up at the Air Force University. And they had written two papers in 2018 and 2019. And the papers focused actually on some of the dangers to nuclear power plants. And they were going to speak, and they were ordered not to like a week or two before the panel took place. Because once Trump was left office, Biden, they shut everything down on this.
So this shutdown happened after Joe Biden took office, correct?
Oh, yeah. Like about, I guess it was 4 months after that.
Yeah, it's something that was left unattended to. It took them 4 months to figure out the speech was about to be given, didn't it?
I guess so. Well, I also saw that both these officers retired, some months later, which I think was probably a forced retirement. So they were punished, but they had been empowered by the Trump administration to publicize this. I had been able to correspond with the major. He actually informed me that the Air Force had a number of software programs, the military did, that would calculate the EMP damage. They were concerned about, for example, a detonation over Omaha, but they had software that a 100 kiloton device would destroy all the integrated circuits in an area about the size of Dallas-Fort Worth, which is about 9,000 square miles. And that's destroyed. I mean, so I, and that corresponded with the information that I had that was unclassified. So, you know, I know that this is correct information. Oop, I can't hear you anymore, John.
Well, there was a glitch in the Skype there. Just go ahead and continue, Stephen.
Okay. Well, so I did give my presentation, and, you know, the funny thing was a couple of members from the Department of Defense were there to listen. And but they, you know, they had smirks on their face, and I actually tried to talk to them for a minute because I'm always trying to convince people this is important. And they just said, well, you know, don't worry. We have everything under control. Which is, you know, that's kind of the response we get about every kind of problem we have in this country when you try to deal something about it. But that's nonsense. You know, the people that have written a lot of this, done the research, they're just as concerned as I am, but they're not as they're constrained because everybody's worried about getting punished by the government if they speak out. I'm not. I mean, I guess I may be at some point, but you know, I'm retired and I'm not afraid of getting fired. So. I've always said what I thought anyway.
Right, so. Right. Well, the threat of losing a paycheck and a pension can be a pretty heavy hammer, can't it?
Well, it can. I, you know, when I was at the University of Missouri, not to change the subject too much, but I was the only professor in the School of Health Profession that spoke out against the idea of making the students get the COVID shot. And you know, I was censored for that. I was told, "Well, you get it, or you can't work at the hospital anymore." And that's when I retired. But it's a ubiquitous. You know, everybody's threatened. You have to toe the line nowadays, or you get punished.
Unfortunately, and we're going to pay a massive price for this whole vaccination thing, and that's in the works right now. Well, I say good for you, Stephen, for rejecting the COVID vaccination clot shot, because very likely what you did is save your life, sir.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I used the information for the CDC that showed that the people that were, you know, kids and young people were almost had a 0% chance of having any significant health issues from getting COVID. It was just the elderly and people with multiple, you know, issues, health issues that were more at risk. But and then you're talking about giving female students a so-called vaccine that has only been tested for 6 months. You know, a pregnancy lasts 9 months, and we saw what happened with thalidomide. I just was horrified by that whole thing.
Yeah, I'm personally acquainted with a woman who was a thalidomide baby, and she has discolored teeth as a consequence of the thalidomide that her mother took when she was before she was born.
Yeah, I mean, and those effects actually didn't show up for some time after it was taken. You know, it wasn't immediate. And I'm afraid the same thing. They found that the nanoparticle coatings that they put on the mRNA migrate selectively to the female and male reproductive organs.
That's right.
So they concentrate there. You don't get out of your body. They knew they were toxic before they even used them. But none of it has made any sense at all unless you have some kind of agenda.
Well, it's all by design. Right. Well, you're a researcher. If you want research material at my website, Stephen, I have more than 200 articles and videos in my COVID panel, including articles and videos by Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. You're not going to find anybody with better credentials. He's saying that the COVID blood shots, as I call them, are meant to cause blood clots. It's not a side effect. It's what they're intended to do. That's a very damning statement, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen him, and he was the head of the respiratory division in Pfizer for research for a long time. And this, if anybody knows about these sort of things, it would be Yaden. And I totally respect what he says.
Absolutely. Well, it's kind of a segue, but it's an important segue to a different topic. Getting back to EMP Shield, my prep tip of the day is to get your EMP Shield devices now while you can. It's better to be a year too soon than a microsecond too late, isn't it?
Well, that's right. It's like a bulletproof vest. You know, it's a waste of money until somebody shoots you. Yep. So yeah, I like you said, you know, there is enough demand now that I think there's about a 2 to 3 week waiting list, and you know, 3 weeks is a long time when France is getting ready to move troops into Ukraine. I think it's a very important, and you know, even if there's no direct military confrontation between the U.S. and Russia and Ukraine, like I said earlier, there's still 12,000 nuclear weapons in the world, and if, you know, all it takes is one of them to go off over the U.S. and all these bad things are going to happen.
That's all it takes. And China is run by people who are mostly sane. Russia is run by men and women who are mostly sane. However, Iran is run by people who believe that 9-year-old girls should get married. I wouldn't trust them any farther than I could throw them. And the likelihood of them having nuclear weapons is almost absolute, isn't it?
Well, it's a very high likelihood. They've enriched their uranium up to about 60%, I read. And that when you get to enrichment level, that means you've concentrated the fissionable element, U-235, to the point where it's weapons usable now. The weapons grade is up to 90%, but it will only take them about 2 to 3 weeks to take that enrichment forward to the 90% level. And then when you have weapons usable, you have you can make a nuclear warhead that can fit on the head of a missile. So I don't know, you know, I mean, there's enough highly enriched uranium that are even at research reactors now that a group could steal that and put together a workable atomic bomb. it's doable. There are high school students and college students have created working designs. It's not a secret how to make a nuclear weapon anymore, especially a simple atomic bomb. So, you know, the world has changed, and it's a lot of times they use secrecy to try to convince us that, don't worry, you know, you're safe. But it's not a secret how to make nuclear weapons, and anybody that has access to highly enriched uranium can make one.
That's pretty scary in and of itself, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, because, like, for example, in Columbia, Missouri, they have the largest civilian reactor in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew they had one. I didn't know it was the biggest one in the civilian hands.
Yeah, and it runs, it uses highly enriched uranium fuel. And so, you know, those sorts of things are, they had a lot of those in the Soviet Union, for example, that when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, there was a really big concern that this stuff was going to, they call it loose nukes, that and the weapons were going to make their way into the hands of terrorist groups. There's so many ways that nuclear weapons can get loose these days, but we don't think about that. You know, we just assume everything's under control, but, you know, it really, we don't know what's going on most of the time.
Well, in 1989, 1990, there was a lot of concern that unscrupulous Russians had control over nukes would sell them to third parties outside Russia, which may have happened, may not have. We simply don't know, do we?
Well, you're right. In fact, the Greenpeace group had an agreement with an East German officer to buy a, I don't know how many megaton warhead.
Really?
All this stuff is documented, and that was when I was getting back into it. I actually kind of, when the Soviet Union collapsed, I had been writing about nuclear war before then, and I thought, well, thank God, you know, when I can end the nuclear arms race and get back to normal. But after about 4 or 5 years, I started noticing that, you know, things weren't changing the way I thought, and I started studying all that, and I started out with some of that loose nuke stuff, and it went on from there. But you know, the whole idea of EMP has been denigrated as a neocon idea, that it's, oh, that's, they're just hysterical, but that's bullshit. I'm sorry, pardon my French, but you know, it's a very plausible scenario to start a nuclear war. In fact, the U.S. Went to a full alert when there was a Norwegian launch from for a weather satellite, but the trajectory looked like a submarine-launched ballistic missile coming out of the North Sea, and Russia went to a full alert. They had their nuclear briefcases open because they thought it was an EMP attack. You know, if you can take out the whole communication systems and the grid with one detonation, that's a plausible beginning to a nuclear war. So it's not a new idea.
No, it's not a new idea at all. And we got our last break coming up here in about a minute. When we get back, we'll have Stephen give a summary of his thoughts for the day and for the week. But Ladies and gentlemen, EMP Shield is available at my website right now for sale. If you want to call, I would wait about an hour. The first hour on Mondays, they're really busy taking orders from people over the weekend. Call them about 9 o'clock Central, place your order, or go ahead and place your order online and get your EMP Shield device for your home, for your generator, for your car, for that car that youngster off to college. A 50-mile or 100-mile walk is not a fun thing under harsh conditions, is it, Stephen?
It's not a fun thing even if it's a nice day.
No. It's in bad weather, it could be a life-threatening matter. So
right.
Make sure that youngster vehicle is protected. And just do it now while you can. Here's our last break. We'll be right back.
Essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization. Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As I said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Stephen, let's hear your summary for the day and for the week, sir.
Okay, well, a single nuclear detonation will create an electromagnetic pulse that will destroy our grid, our electric power grid, and most of our critical national infrastructure, simply because Washington hasn't acted to shield these things. So I would ask your listeners to get my book. My name's Stephen Starr, Stephen with a V, Starr with two R's, on Amazon. It's a nuclear high altitude electromagnetic pulse. Get the book, study it. It's not hard to understand. There's non-technical summaries. And take it to your local officials, your state officials, and your federal officials if you're influential and you have some input there. And give it to them and ask them to do something about this. And then, you know, I also recommend that you get an EMP shield for your own home, because even if they manage to protect the grid, which I sure hope they do, it won't protect your own property, your own house, because the EMP will still destroy the electronics there. And that's not, it'll protect against lightning too, so it's a good investment for a variety of ways. And I, you know, I thank John for letting me be on his show.
Well, you're welcome, Stephen. It's been a good match, you and I, visiting on Monday mornings to educate people, inform people, help them understand the true nature of this clear and present danger from both EMP and from lightning, letting them know that they can protect themselves, their equipment, their cars, in a very reasonable fashion when it comes to lightning backed up by a $25,000 insurance policy. It's all a win-win situation, isn't it, Stephen?
Well, it is. You know, that's why I bought this before I even knew about your show. But I learned about EMP Shield when I was studying about EMP, because I thought, well, is there anything I can do to protect myself? And I was surprised that there was a plant in Kansas that was making a device like that. And they, on their website, they put up the documents that show that they do testing to military-grade specifications. And you know, I've had a continuing dialogue with one of their Andrew, one of their co-owners, I think, and he's educated me further about that the EMP shield will protect inside and outside of your house, which is really a good news as far as I'm concerned. So I am sold on the product.
Absolutely. Well, I am also. So, ladies and gentlemen, just do your homework, study up on EMP, what it can do, how it works, make your decision, move forward. We're running, like I say, a 2 to 3 week back order. Well, not bad. Stephen, thank you very much. Look forward to having you back next Monday, sir.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Okay, we got a top of the hour break coming up here, and we'll start with Firearms Money with my friend Sam Andrews. Sam is, in my opinion, one of the most qualified experts in the proper use of rifles and pistols on the planet, quite frankly. He's been at this training men and women for decades, and he builds custom rifles there in beautiful Lebanon, Missouri at Freedom Center, which can be up to $12,000 for one rifle. And it's good to know that this expertise exists and that you can access it and get what you need for your precision rifle, get the training you need to be able to defend innocent lives and property. And that's what we'll be doing here. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.